There's a priest friend of mine in Omaha, Nebraska, who tells a story about when he was in the seminary and he was home visiting his family. And he told his mom at one point, I'm going to go to my room and spend a little bit of time just praying with the Bible, with the scriptures. And after he left, his mom got on the phone with her brother, who happened to be a bishop, right? And she says, I'm really nervous about Tom. He's praying with the scriptures. I think he might be becoming Protestant. Hopefully we don't have that kind of an attitude, mentality anymore, right? But for Catholics, we hold the scripture much like what that second reading today from St. John says. Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in deed and truth. All of our sacraments are that scriptural word made ritual, made into deed and truth. We don't just talk about scripture. We strive to do it. The Mass, as we continue our catechesis on the Mass, is divided into two main parts with an introduction and a conclusion. So we have finished the introductory rites. So today, let's talk about what's called the Liturgy of the Word. There are two tables at every Mass, the table of the Word and the table of the Eucharist. From the one, the Church grows in wisdom. From the other, she grows in holiness. The table of the Word is represented by the ambo, the table of the Eucharist by the altar. Now, not only every Mass, but every sacrament, all seven of them, have this structure of a liturgy of the Word followed by the sacrament itself. And that structure comes to us from salvation history. In the Old Testament, God spoke His Word in the Law and the Prophets. And in the New Testament, that Word became flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. Word and sacrament. That's why it's so important to precede every sacrament with a proclamation of the Word of God, because the Word prepares us for the sacrament, just as the Old Testament prepared us for the coming of Christ. We see that structure to some extent, at least, in that Gospel of John today. Jesus says that His Word prunes us, thus enabling us to bear more fruit. The Word of God prunes us by teaching wisdom, but also by rejecting or pruning away falsehoods. So, for example, wisdom might teach us the importance of remaining with our friends, even though we may not always agree or even get along. But pruning can even call for, or does call for us, to nail to the cross the grudges and the grievances that we might very well carry toward those friends, or for anyone really, for that matter. Wisdom says, ask that friend for help. Pruning says, well, it is okay to let that person go if he or she is hindering my movement toward virtue and toward heaven. Listening to the Word of God with the ears of our heart prunes and prepares us to encounter Jesus in the sacrament of the Eucharist, where we eat His flesh and drink His blood. The Word must be proclaimed so that the Word can become flesh. Our Protestant brothers and sisters stop with the Word, and I admit they often do a great job of teaching and explaining that Word, a job that we Catholics need to keep improving on. But sadly, they don't go on to celebrate the Word becoming flesh, which is the whole point of the proclamation in the first place. Our words, the words that you and I use every day, must not remain only words, but go on to become deeds. And our words and our deeds should be modeled on the Word and the deed that is Christ Jesus. The Word of God on Sundays normally consists in four readings. First, from the Old Testament. The second is from one of the Psalms, also part of the Old Testament, and that's usually sung because the Psalms are poetic hymns or prayers. The third reading comes from one of the letters of the New Testament, and the fourth one comes from one of the four Gospels. The church wants us to hear on Sundays as much of the Word as possible, as much of the Bible as possible, and so the readings are proclaimed to us on a three-year cycle based on the three synoptic Gospels, Matthew in year A, Mark in year B, and Luke in year C. Where's the Gospel of John, right? Well, the Gospel of John is read every year during the Easter season. That's what we heard from John just today. Plus, John supplements the year of Mark, which is this year, since Mark's Gospel is the shortest of the four Gospels. So later this summer, for about 6 weeks, we'll hear from chapter 6 of the Gospel of John. So this year, year B, started on the first Sunday of Advent this past December with that first chapter of Mark's Gospel. And through every Sunday, with the exception of Easter, till next Advent, we hear proclaimed in a semi-continuous fashion the whole of the Gospel of Mark. Now, that first reading from the Old Testament is chosen according to the theme of the Gospel, because the Old Testament prepared for the coming of Christ. Now, another exception during Easter, though, the first reading is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, describing for us the early church after the resurrection of Jesus. The responsorial psalm is a meditative response to that first reading. Thus, today's psalm sang beautifully, "I will praise you, Lord, in the assembly of your people," because that reading, that first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, talked about the community of the church being at peace, being built up, and walking in the Lord. The third reading is from a non-gospel New Testament letter or book, and it's usually chosen not according to a theme, but rather a whole letter is read over time. So, for example, we heard today from the first letter of St. John. We've heard from St. John for the last three Sundays, and we'll hear it for an additional two. All of these letters are like a commentary, so to speak, on the Christian life, and we want to hear them as they were written, like a letter from start to finish. Now, of those four readings, the church holds the gospel as the most important. That's why we sing an alleluia. That's why we stand for it. We come to attention, right? Ready to hear commands from the Lord himself. That's why, usually, when we have servers, we bring candles for its proclamation, because candles remind us of the real presence of Christ in his proclaimed word. That's why we have that exchange before the gospel, "The Lord be with you and with your spirit," right? The exchange between the baptized and the ordained. It's another way to remind us that the gospel is for the whole church, that we're all its servants. And then we also make the sign of the cross three times, right? On our forehead, on our lips, and over our hearts. It's a prayer action that the Lord, who is about to speak to us, may be in our minds, on our lips, and in our hearts. We do that because we want to let the gospel transform the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we love. Read and pray all of the scriptures with this explicitly in mind. I am being transformed through these words into the Word. Christ, the Word of God. And so the challenge really has to be made. What are we doing to grow deeper in love with the Word? Pope St. Paul VI wrote that God's Word for all of us should be a perpetual source for our spiritual life. If you feel like your spiritual life is suffering, ask yourself, how regular a diet of Scripture are you getting? Scripture is the soul for Christian spirituality. If my prayer with God is hurting, Maybe it's because it's missing its soul. I can't encourage you enough to spend time with a little bit of Scripture every day. If you have a family, do that as a family. The New American Bible Revised Edition is the translation that's owned by the U.S. bishops, and it has a wonderful set of explanatory notes that go along with it so that as you read, you can have some additional help to understand what you're reading. So nourish your soul, not only at the table of the Word in this Eucharist, but every day when you read and pray from the Holy Bible, from the Word of God. And that's your homework for this week. By way of suggestion, I would encourage you to start reading from the Gospel of Mark, not only because it's year B, the year of Mark, but also because it's the shortest of the Gospels, and it has the kind of a punchiest character to it. Let his word prune you so that you bear much fruit.